Well, praise the Lord. New Year's is always a time to reflect on the year that just passed, and it's always a good time to check out how we have been. How are we doing? Are we making progress? Are we sliding back? Or are we veering off track? There's all kinds of things we can look at to see whether or not there's areas that we can improve. And by the way, there are always areas that we can improve. And so we tend to make these things called New Year's resolutions. And I'm not a big fan of those, but at the same time, I think you can make a resolution anytime. You don't have to wait till the new year. I've had to make changes in my lifestyle, my eating habits, and all that stuff just for my health's sake. I don't remember the exact day, but I actually remembered or thought about, well, what are my kids going to do, and what are my grandkids going to do if I'm not around? And so I started thinking very seriously about that, and I thought, well, I want to be around because there's so much influence out in the world that could affect how they grow up and how they think, and I want to be a part of their being raised, and I don't want somebody else to have that full responsibility. So you see where I'm coming from. I want to get healthier. So it's a gradual process. But then I started thinking about my own spiritual life and what can I do there to improve. And I don't know if you realize this, but when you first come to the Lord in salvation, that's not all there is to it. I know everyone in here probably knows all that. There's a growing process. We refer to that as sanctification. Now, sanctification can be a thing at a specific point in time, but also sanctification is a process. Even, I think it was Peter who was talking about how you grow, like in faith, patience. There's like a ladder of attributes that Christians go through, and faith and patience and long-suffering and all this stuff is part of it. But then I came across the scripture where Paul talks about a new life. So I thought about myself, well, how do I measure up to just this part of the scripture? And curiously, how do you measure up to just this part? Now, the whole Bible gives us a whole list of things that we can test ourselves with. And by the way, that's what this is. It's really the rule book. We measure ourselves against the Word of God. And so when you come across the Word of God and it tells you how to live, you need to check yourself and say, am I abiding by the Word of God? If you're not, guess what? You're off track. And that's what I started looking at myself. So let's jump in. Head first. Here we go. So Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And he says this, and I'm going to read a few scriptures at a time, and then I'll make some commentary there. But he goes, so let me back up. So he basically did an explanation about what it means to come into the body of Christ. One, he wants everybody to be unified. Now, what does that mean, unified? Unified don't mean to think the same thing. Okay, not everybody's going to think the same thing. Not everybody's going to agree on the same thing. But your purpose, the purpose of what? Purpose of the gospel is to get more people involved in following Jesus. And that's where he wants people to be unified, behind that purpose. So after all that explanation, he says, so this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk henceforth, in other words, from now on till later, till the end, that you walk henceforth, or that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk. And you got to ask yourself right away, he's telling you, don't walk like the Gentiles. And by the way, the word walk in the Old King James is live. Don't live like the Gentiles. Well, how do they live? How do they walk? So it says, having the understanding darkened. It's talking about the brain here. Look out in the world and see how people are confused about their gender nowadays. They can't even, a Supreme Court nominee cannot define a woman. I'm like, seriously? they got their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. In other words, separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. And by the way, ignorance is not necessarily stupid. Ignorance means you don't know. There used to be an old saying, stupid is forever. Ignorance can be fixed. If you're stupid, you can't learn. But if you're ignorant, you can learn. And that's the thing. These people are ignorant. They don't know because of the blindness of their heart. They don't want to know. And that's where we have to continually live, walk, as Christ would have us to walk, to give them an example. So that's what I'm getting at here. So he's talking about these Gentiles, and this is how they live, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. That's kind of like the party-hardy people. You know, all they want to do is do evil and party hard and just wreak havoc. That's what lasciviousness means, and to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, they want their own way. And by the way, the Hollywood and the commercials, Nike just says, just do it. You know, whatever you feel, just do it. That's their motto, just do it. Well, that's not quite measuring up to Scripture. So he's saying, this is not how you should live, okay, under this free for all, party till you drop, work to all uncleanness with greediness. And then he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, he said, I preached to you about Christ. This is not who Christ is. People who live like this and say they're a Christian, guess what? You can be a fruit inspector and you can say, well, I don't think so. You're not producing the fruits of a Christian. Because as Paul says, and by the way, he was inspired by the Spirit, so we really have to say it's coming from the mouth of God when Paul writes these things down, don't live like this. And so now he's saying, he's turning his attention to you, to me, and he's going to tell us what about this new life. How should somebody who comes to Christ, who may be brand new, a baby in Christ, so to speak, how should they live? And I tell you, Christians have a way of, when somebody walks up and gets saved, Christians have a way of saying, okay, now you got to do this, you got to do this, that. You know, they got a whole list of rules. Well, right here is where you get your list. First things first, come to Christ, and then you read the Word, and this is how you grow. So this is how we have not learned to live like this through Christ. Excuse me. Because he's saying, if so be that ye have heard him, and we've heard the gospel many, excuse me, many times. And have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I apologize. Sorry about that. Whoop. Too fast, too far. I'm having technical difficulties, folks. This thing jumps all over the place. Did I skip another? I'm sorry. Deronda, I should have had you do it. No, it's just that when I touch the screen, it jumps and it's doing this. No, I'm okay now, I think. The screen was just too zoomed in too much. If you're wondering what I mean by the screen, I have my tablet that I'm controlling the scripture up there. So anyway, Paul says you have not learned Christ this way. You haven't learned to live like this by knowing about Christ. So he's now saying, okay, how should you be living this new life that you have? He said that you put off concerning the former conversation. Again, that's a King James version of your former life. This is how you used to live. He's saying put that aside. And Trey, that's what we were talking about. People know and remember your past. And that's the part that they're going to bring up all the time. They bring it up to me. They bring it up to everybody who wants to live for Christ. And he says, but you put that off, put it aside. Don't live like that anymore, because that's the old man. The former conversation or the former way of living for the old man. Why? Because which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And lust in this case means your cravings, the things that you long for, the things that you desire. And it could be all kinds of things. And the fact is, they're deceitful because they get you off track. And that's all that means. But here we go. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you realize that most battles are won and fought right up here? Even James sort of makes that connection when he says, sin starts here, and then eventually it comes forth on your hands. And then after that, he says, it actually turns into the sin. And then what's the end result? Brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. And the fact is, it starts there. So we need to be renewed in the mind. So this is something that may be something you have to do multiple times. A lot of people, I don't know about you, but I have to ask for forgiveness multiple times. And it's not just a one-time thing. Some people think it is. It's one time and that's it. You're saved. Nothing else is going to ever bother you. Well, I'm glad for you, but that's not the experience I've had. I've had to do what John said, which is if you sin, he says, I write these things so you don't. But if you do sin, what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of his sin. Now, he being Jesus, not the people outside who's always going to remember these sins against you. But he won't. He won't. But we got to start with the mind. And so here he goes. He continues. And that you put on. So it's kind of like putting on a new set of clothes. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So when you want to live righteous and live holy, it's going to require, and I heard a Billy Graham segment, and I really loved it because I thought it was so appropriate to this sermon tonight. He says, coming to Christ means there's got to be a change. If you come to Christ and you're still the same person, didn't take. I don't know how else to explain it. You come to Christ, there's got to be a change. A change in the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think, because it said renew the mind. So it's basically he's using this allegory of putting on clothes. This is how you put on this new man. In other words, you make this constant decision, a resolution, call it what you will, make this conscious decision with the help of the Holy Spirit to put on this new man so that you can live a righteous and a holy life. That's something a lot of people don't want to talk about, is living a holy life. Because Scripture says, I think, what is it in Peter, or is either one of Peter's letters or Hebrews, without holiness, what's it say? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Got to have holiness. So he said, wherefore, putting away lying, sometimes we lie to ourselves. Oh, I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to, you know, I can eat anything I want. Nothing's going to happen to me. Well, sure enough, you do it long enough, it will. But he says, speak every man truth with his own neighbor. Wow, we lie to our own neighbors. Sure enough. For we are members of one another. In other words, we belong to this community. We belong to this family. It's like everybody in here. You belong to the fellowship of Christ. What good would it be to lie to one another? Now, granted, we joke around, but we say that we lie in this church all the time. All you have to do is ask somebody, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm great. You know, you could be on hospice and, you know, and then all of a sudden you're lying about it. I know that's quite an exaggeration, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And we know some people who are very big about that. So I try to couch it in better terms, like, well, I'm not so good today, but I'm getting better. I'm having faith. I'm having hope for the future. So anyway, Put away lying to your neighbor, to your family, to your friends, and all this, you know, for we're members of one another. But then he goes on, he says, this is what we were talking about, Trey. He says, you can be angry, but sin not. You know, that's okay. I mean, life will make you angry if you live it long enough. People will do things that you just cannot stand. I don't know about you, but I have what's called pet peeves. I have things that just irk me to no end. And for you, it may be something minor. But whatever irks you, maybe I think it's minor. But just waste. That's one of the things I can't stand, waste. And I see all of my kids all the time, and it just bothers me, and it's like I can't stand it. They get out a bottle of water, a whole bottle of water, take two or three drinks out of it, set it down. That's the last time they touch it. And then they go get them another bottle. Rinse and repeat. Same thing over and over, and now you got 10, 20 bottles sitting on your bar with, what do we do with the water? I give it to the dogs. They're not going to drink it. Nobody knows whose it is, but I give it to the dogs so that we don't waste if we can help it. But that's a pet peeve of mine, and I get so angry. I even try to bring it up once in a while, but it doesn't help. But anyway, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means we can't be angry for a very long time. Don't hold a grudge. That's what he's telling us. And if you don't know if you are, ask the Lord, am I angry or have I not forgiven somebody? And sometimes the Lord will bring it to your attention. You may not have forgiven somebody for years. But what does anger do? It gives place to the devil, because he says, don't be angry and sin, because, and neither give place to the devil. Now, you might be wondering, well, how does this work? How does being angry give place to the devil? I'll show you. Or I'll tell you, I didn't put it up here on the screen. But everybody knows who Cain and Abel is, right? Okay, Cain and Abel were brothers. Cain was a farmer, Abel was a raiser. Raiser, is that a word? He raised sheep and whatnot, and, you know, animals. And they both came and gave an offering to the Lord. And they each gave an offering of what they did. But probably somewhere in that ceremony, God probably required an offering of a living sacrifice. I think, and it's not spelled out in Scripture, but I think it goes back to when he had to sacrifice an innocent animal. Remember when Adam and Eve realized they were naked, no clothes and whatnot? He made them skin, or made them clothes from skins. Some animal had to give their life for Adam and Eve's sin. So that's probably where this came from. So here Cain comes and he offers fruit and vegetables and whatnot. And of course, Abel had his offering. And the Lord had respect. In other words, he accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 5. It says here, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, mad, angry. I mean, he could spit nails. And the thing was, and it said, and his countenance fell. You know how that is. Well, you get so mad, you're just, you know, gritting your teeth and you're looking down and whatnot. His countenance fell. And verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you mad? Why are you upset? And why is thy countenance fallen? And then he says this, and this is something we better pay attention. And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, here we go, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him. And then Cain didn't pay attention to that and went off and killed Abel. So you see what anger leads to? It leads to that kind of situation to where it eventually boils over into murder. I am just appalled at the number of people that I see in the news, and maybe it's just because either it happens so frequently, or maybe it's just being reported more frequently, how people are just killing others without any thought. Over a parking spot, people have killed others. A parking spot. Yes. To kill indiscriminate. They don't even know, a lot of them, don't even know who they're killing. And they just go in to kill. Something wrong in their mind. And we know what's wrong. They're giving place to the devil. The devil is taking control. And that's the part Paul is trying to say to us. This is not how you live the new life. So he goes on to say, so first of all, in case you've forgotten, he says, put away lying. And now he says, let him that stole, past tense, steal no more. Let him that used to steal, steal no more. But rather let him labor, work. Work with his hands the thing which is good. And by the way, the Lord has a lot to say, the scriptures has a lot to say about laziness. Working with his hands that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You think working might be just to supply what you need. That's not what he's saying here. He's, yeah, do that. Work to supply everything that you need, but also to give away to people who maybe, you know, and I'm not talking about being lazy, but some people just fall on hard times. It happens. So help those who are in need. We have a few more verses to go, going to 32. But right now it says in verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I went and worked at a facility where I had to actually install a huge piece of equipment, but it required a lot of people, And this was a place up in Ohio. And all of these men that worked there at that plant, they would sit at a table. And there was this one guy, I could hear his voice even today. Almost, well, I know every sentence, but almost every other word was what we refer to as the F-bomb. He couldn't speak without using that word. And I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes I can tolerate some profanity, some, but when it's constant, over and over, it's like beating your eardrums against whatever. I mean, these words just string out of this guy's mouth. And for the whole 20 minutes they were on break, that was all I heard. Oh my goodness. And we were there 2 weeks. I just couldn't stand going in. But it's one of those things where this filthy conversation, communication, and that's what Paul's saying, don't let corrupt communication, but not just talking about profanity, but he's talking about lying and all these things, putting people down. You know, that's corrupt. But what he says is for a Christian, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's another interesting King James word, but it means to build up. Edifying means to build somebody up. How often do we hear people being torn down by words? We're constantly tearing people down by words. Oh, you're never going to amount to anything. If you only had an education, you might could do something. You know, I actually was told, well, not to my face, it got back to me, but I was told that I had book sense, but I didn't have any common sense. And that came from a relative, by the way. I have book sense, but not common sense. People will tear you down. And they're quick to do it. And that's what he continues. He says that it may minister grace. See, I think sometimes we lack grace for people. We're not willing to show grace and love. It all goes hand in hand. But in all of that bad stuff, what does it do? It grieves the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us here, don't. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when you think about it, and it is true, when you come to salvation, the Spirit comes to live in you. Eddie is fond of saying, and I agree with him, the Spirit of the Lord is not going to live in a pig pen. Well, what if maybe you're not a pig pen, but yeah, you throw a lie out here once in a while, and maybe you put people down, and maybe you get angry and sin after that. What is all that doing? It's grieving the Holy Spirit. It saddens him to see you act that way. And it says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Spirit is what puts that seal upon you so that that one day when Christ comes, you will finally be redeemed fully. Yes, we are redeemed. Okay, don't ever take away from that. But we're not finally redeemed. We are going to be, God helping, but there's that going to be that day when Christ comes. Better pray that you're able, that you're worthy to stand before the Son of Man when He comes. That's in the Scripture. He wouldn't tell us to pray for that if we might not be ready. And we're going to finish up here. He goes on. So we already talked about lying, and we have talked about stealing. We're talking about being angry and not sin, and also no corrupt communication, no gossip, no putting people down, no profanity, this kind of stuff. But now he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. This is basically just all the same. I mean, so much of what we say is hateful. Hateful speech. And that's what he's talking about here. Sometimes people are so bitter, and I feel sorry for them in many ways. They're bitter, and they can't seem to get over it. How does that happen? Maybe they got hurt in church. Maybe they got hurt by a family member, and they just can't let it go. They're going to be bitter from now on. You know, people come in and out of our lives all the time. They're going to do and say things that can make us bitter. And wrath means being angry and lashing out. And clamor, that's the kind of the thing where you just want to raise a ruckus all the time. Make a scene, they say. And this evil speaking, this is the same thing where you're putting people down and maybe even telling things about people that aren't true. But he says, to put this away from you. Let all this be put away from you, including with all malice, okay? Malice, that's that hateful behavior. And finally, we end with this scripture. Oh, if we could just follow this one scripture. And be ye kind one to another, to be tenderhearted. Most of us are hard-hearted. But he says, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You realize when we pray what's referred to as the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our debts or trespasses, we say, as Christ has forgiven us. Do you forgive other people just as God has forgiven you? That's a biggie. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would take these words and help us as Christians to live this life. It's not always easy to live a righteous and holy life, but we know that it's a requirement. So God, I pray for anybody who's struggling right now. I ask you, God, that you give them the spirit and the courage and the strength, Lord, to live this new life and to make 2023 something new and proud that they could be, somebody that they could be proud of as to who they are. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In His blessed name, amen.